In my talk today, I want to talk about an inversion technique which has been suggested, I think, originally by Habedan in 2004, and I think it has quite a bit of a potential because it is fairly easy to use, and this work now builds on the work which was done originally by Habedan in 2004. So to set the stage, light or leaf area strongly affects the amount of light which can be intercepted by the plant, and which is then or potentially converted into chemical energy, and which then can be converted into yield. And it's pretty obvious the larger the leaf area, the more light can be intercepted by the plant and potentially converted into chemical energy and therefore yield. And therefore, it's not very surprising that leaf area is one of the key parameters in many growth and yield models. Here on this slide, you can see one of the most simple yield models, which pretty much relates leaf area to yield. And you can see only by just using leaf area, we can explain quite a bit of the variability. In this case, we can explain 58% of the variability in the data just by using leaf area as an input parameter. So based on that, it's very important, or you can see that it's very important to get information about leaf area. But how can we now get information about leaf area? There are different possibilities to do this. One way is to do ground sampling, and ground sampling methods include optical technologies, like, for example, the LIGHTCORE 2000, or to do destructive sampling. However, the big disadvantage of those methods is that they're very time-consuming, and therefore it is fairly hard to acquire that information over large geographic areas. So one alternative to this would be the use of remotely sensed imagery, since it allows us to acquire information over large geographic areas within a short period of time. So how can we now use remote sensing to obtain information about leaf area over a large area? One way many authors have done this is they acquired aerial imagery and at the same time conducted ground measurements of LEI on the ground, and then come up with an empirical relationship which pretty much relates to spectral index, which is then extracted from the aerial imagery to leaf area, and come up with this empirical relationship. However, now you probably also realize that we still require, to do this, we still require field work, so people still have to go on the ground and acquire those leaf area measurements. Another problem we can see with those empirical approaches is that often we have to come up with those empirical relationships for each field, since due to, for example, soil background changes, those empirical relationships might change, and therefore this adds another component of fieldwork. So there's quite a bit of fieldwork still involved with this empirical approach. So it should be the goal of the remote sensing community to reduce the amount of fieldwork and therefore the costs associated with it. And one possibility to reduce fieldwork is the use of the inversion of radiative transfer models. And in the past, different inversion techniques have been developed. For example, people have used lookup tables, neural networks. And in my study, I want to focus on a very easy inversion technique, which has been, as I mentioned earlier, proposed by Habedan et al. In 2004. So now I want to go a little bit, or real quick, over the radiative transfer model technique suggested by Habedan et al. They used, for their inversion, they used the prospect and sale model. The prospect model has been developed by Jacquemont in 1990, and it's a leaf reflectance model, whereas the sale model, which stands for scattering by arbitrary inclined leaves, has been developed by Verhoeven in 1982. And so the basic idea of Habedan, or how they did this, is they pretty much separated the components, the input components of this of those models, into three different categories. and I start here from the right maybe. And so the first component of variables, they assume to be constant or not affecting really the inversion result. And those were, for example, leaf water, leaf internal structure, and chlorophyll concentration. So they assumed a constant for those parameters. Then other parameters, they assumed to be known. For example, viewing in illumination geometry is obviously known if you know when you acquired the imagery. Soil background, they obtained that information from the imagery itself, from bare soil pixels. And as leaf angle distribution, they assumed a spherical leaf angle distribution, which is a fairly good approximation for the leaf angle distribution of wheat. The only variable they keep variable was leaf area index. And so what they did, they ran the model for different leaf areas, and for each leaf area, they came up with a canopy spectra. And from those canopy spectra, they extracted a spectra index, which has to be shown to be sensitive to leaf area. So they, for each of those spectra, they extracted a spectra index. And since the input or the leaf area is known and the spectra index is known, based on this calculation, they were able to come up with a predictive equation, which pretty much uses the spectral index to predict leaf area. Then they used the aerial image, extracted that spectral index from that aerial image, and plugged it into this predictive equation. And the index they were using to do this is the MTVI2, which has to be shown to be very sensitive to variations in leaf area and at the same time resistant to changes in leaf in chlorophyll content of plants. However, the major problem with this method is that Habitan used to do this, they used narrowband hyperspectral imagery. And I define hyperspectral or narrowband imagery here with spectral resolution of less than 10 nanometers. And this imagery is very expensive often, and it's also the availability of the imagery is often very limited. So therefore, it was the objective of our study to determine whether radiative transfer model inversion and broadband multispectral imagery are suitable for predicting leaf area. So to do this, we worked in two commercial farm fields in eastern Oregon, which were planted to hard red spring wheat. And we conducted leaf area measurements with a Licor 2000 in 3x3 meter plots. And the aerial imagery was acquired with a multispectral broadband aerial imaging system with a Duncan Tech camera, which is shown here. That's a little picture. And this camera was equipped with three bands, a green band, a red band, and a near-infrared band. And please note that those bands are quite wide, so we're talking really about broadband imagery here. The pre-processing included a flat field correction. We did an empirical line method to convert digital numbers to reflectance. And for georeferencing, we used orthophotos to co-register our aerial images to the orthophoto. And we tried to keep the root mean square of precision below 1 meter. Then we used the same we ran the same prospect model and pretty much employed the methodology suggested by Habitan et al. And then we extracted the MTVI from our aerial imagery and plugged it into the predictive equation we came up based on the on the model run. So now I want to talk a little bit about the results we were obtaining, and here you can see the LAI measured versus the LAI predicted in our two farm fields. And you can see that our regression here follows fairly nicely our one-to-one line, and maybe we have a little bit of under-prediction for higher leaf areas, but it follows fairly nicely a one-to-one line. And here I just separated those two fields, and what you can see here in fields field A, we have a slight over prediction here for lower leaf areas and under predictions for high leaf areas. In contrast, field B, again here it follows very nicely the one-to-one, the regression follows very nicely the one-to-one line. And I didn't put this on those slides, but the root mean square errors for those estimates were approximately 0.4. What I also want to mention here is you can see here fairly nicely, for example, this relationship is obviously strongly driven by those high leaf areas. So if you just concentrate here on the lower leaf areas and, for example, from 1 to 2, this methodology would probably not be able to discern smaller leaf areas from each other. So if you have, for example, at 1.2, and at 1.6, you probably won't be able to discern those necessarily based on this methodology. But then the other question is, are you really able to get that accuracy with the Likert 2000 as well? So here I want to show real quick the inversion results for the whole field, for the whole field A. And you can see here high leaf areas are indicated by the dark green and low leaf areas by lighter green. And here those lines you can see here are double seeded areas, so they have a higher leaf area due to the double seeding, and they show up fairly nicely. Here this is field B, and again those dark green areas are a high leaf area, and what's really interesting about this field here is that the irrigation system got stuck in this area here, which has a high leaf area, and we picked that up fairly nicely, obviously, here you can see some subsurface flow probably of water, and you get still a higher leaf area. So I want to conclude real quick. Based on this study, we can say that radiative transfer model inversion based on readily available broadband multispectral data might provide acceptable estimates of leaf area in springweed. And what I really, really have to emphasize for the, is that for this inversion, we don't require any ground measurements of LAI. So we didn't do any, we don't need any ground measurements of LAI, and that's a big plus, which will significantly reduce fieldwork and therefore costs associated with this technique. And finally, we suggest that further research is warranted to assess the robustness of these findings, for example, with different camera systems and at different geographic locations. Finally, I want to acknowledge real quick my funding source, which is the U.S.-Israel Binational Agricultural Research and Development Fund, John Deere Agri Services, Dr. Ray Hunt, who helped me, introduced me to the SAVE Prospect model, and Scott Harper and Lee Hawley for letting me access their farm fields. Thank you, and I guess I'm pretty close to the time limit here.
Thank you very much.